Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. It's a fantastic day down here at healthmasters.com. Lots of wild articles again, as always, for you guys. Hope everybody's having a blessed Tuesday. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. A little different audio for me today. I'm actually at the office today, and I'm normally on Skype, so I'm actually at the office at Health Master. So for those of you who are listening, and I'm here right now, and I'll be here for probably another hour after the show is over with, I'll do the best I can to take as many phone calls from you today when you call the office as I possibly can. Austin, what's the new Vonage 800 number that we have for folks calling on?
The 1-800 number we have is the 877-241-3575. That's 877-241-3575. That's one of our secondary Vonage 1-800 numbers we carry now.
And so I just dropped this on my staff, so they had no idea I was going to say that. So that's how we kind of do things around here. Remember, we're not scripted. We got to do what we're going to do. Oh, by the way, I want to start this today on the show. Watch. This is a very good, a documentary. It says, the doctor says he refused the mandatory flu vaccine, but you're going to love this quote. Now, this is what he said, quote, unquote. I am an emergency room physician, and I've seen lots of kids coming in after having vaccines, and they've had seizures, even to the point that I believe that sudden infant death syndrome has been misdiagnosed. It's probably vaccine injury in some cases. And calling the pediatrician and saying, look, you know, got this kid in here, you just gave him shots the other day, and now they're having seizures. Obviously, it's the vaccine that's causing it, and it's just the total denial from the pediatrician. I've seen it happen over and over and over again. Wow. What do you think about that, Oz?
No, it's very sad. I mean, that's one thing, and I've talked about this on the show so many times, but I've gotten so many emails and phone calls on that exact same thing over and over and over again. They have an incredibly healthy child. They're not sure what to do. They get pressured into doing the vaccines by the pediatricians. They do them, and it goes nowhere but downhill afterwards. And now we start seeing these research articles, like I posted on the website the other day, how they tested these vaccines, and every single vaccine they tested was contaminated with some type of heavy metal. Even the HPV vaccine was contaminated with lead. A lot of these other ones being contaminated with mercury on purpose, as they blatantly say it, aluminum, stainless steel, tungsten, all kinds of different metals in there that really have no business being in there whatsoever. But when you start seeing really, really, really dangerous compounds like mercury and lead being in vaccines, and you're injecting them into a child, and guys, you got to think about this aspect. When you go in with the CDC's protocol at 3 months, and you're supposed to give them like 3 or 4 vaccines, and then at 6 months you go in for another 6 or 7 vaccines, one of these vaccines is already, you know, it's toxic. It has lead, or it has mercury, or it has aluminum, or a combination of all of both. And it's bad enough. They get one of these vaccines, it's pretty toxic stuff. Sometimes, though, a lot of times the body can handle it in small amounts, but they're not just doing one. They're not just doing 2 or 3. At 6 months old, they're doing 6 and 7 vaccines at one single time. And the little child, you know, that a lot of times doesn't weigh more than in the teens or 20 pounds at best at 6 months old, gets injected with all these unbelievably toxic compounds that would make an adult at 200 pounds more than likely sick and have a fever. And they're giving it to these little children, and then they have all these side effects that continue on down the road that we've talked about, and it's really sad. That's why we always tell everybody, do your research on this topic. Do your research before you make a decision, Dad. That's so important.
Well, it is. I've got another article here from a Yale University study that was just released. It says, it's not just autism, it's also vaccines are tied to multiple brain disorders. From the Free Thought Project, it goes on to say, it is no question that the subject of vaccine is profoundly controversial. On both sides of the argument exist truths and lies that can hinder the ability to make people make rational decisions. For the last 50 years, the world has been taking its front seat to the phenomenal logical consequences and occurrences in the rise of brain disorders such as autism, ADHD, and major depressive disorders. Anecdotally speaking, parents all over the globe have reported that one day their children were normal and growing healthy, and the next, after having gotten their vaccines, they get autism or ADHD, for example. While science and the government continue to maintain their there's no causal relation between the vaccines and disorders, which is a lie, by the way. Parents, multiple studies, and other countries have reported otherwise. Now it seems some very brave and unabashed scientists have been able to show a correlation of what many have known for some time. It's been also proven that the CDC scientists destroyed data that showed the correlation between vaccines, autism, and children, which, by the way, we've never seen released in mainstream media. Researchers at Pennsylvania State and Yale University sought to examine whether antecedent vaccinations were associated with increased incidence of obsessive-compulsive disorder, anorexia, anxiety disorder, chronic tic disorder, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, major depressive disorder, and bipolar disorder in a national sample of privately insured children. Controlling for broken bones and open wounds, control means use commonly occurring incidents as a contrast method. The researchers concluded that someone who'd received the flu vaccine within the last year were also associated with incidences of an OCD or anxiety disorder. I mean, this is a blow-by-blow example of exactly what we've told you. The epidemiological analysis implies that the onset of multiple neuropsychiatric disorders may be temporarily related to prior vaccinations in the subset of individuals. Guys, this is from Yale. This is not some little bobo science group. This thing, they're telling us, hey, this stuff is bad. It has all kinds of problems in it. So guys, please listen. It's one of those things. You got to stay away from these things. What's your next story, Oz?
Well, this is another one that I just pulled up earlier. Now, more and more countries around the world now are wanting to repeal and replace the United Nations. Now, I don't know if this is the beginning of a false flag to implement something even more tyrannical than the United Nations, or if a lot of these countries really are becoming that sick and nauseated with the United Nations. A global effort now dubbed Covenant of Democratic Nations is working to abolish the United Nations and is being widely ridiculed, the United Nations is ridiculed as the dictators club, and they want to replace it with an international forum open exclusively to free and democratic nations. Basically, it is a repeal and replace campaign to protect the world from the UN and its increasingly vicious attacks on freedom and self-government. A number of lawmakers now around the world have expressed significant interest in the campaign as the movement travels from city to city, hosting events to expose the UN and promote an alternative. The figurative straw that broke the camel's back for organizers appears to be the UN Security Council Resolution 2334, in which they declared the presence of Jews in part of Jerusalem to be a violation of supposed international law. The move sparked outrage across the political spectrum. Globalists around the world have even started jumping on the bandwagon to defund the UN. That's why I'm not sure if this is a false flag or if a lot of people are so irritated about this in general. On Capitol Hill, interest in protecting America and liberty from the UN has surged since the vote. The Covenant of Democratic Nations agenda also has strong support among Jewish and Zionist groups seeking to defend Israel against the constant UN demonization. Also, too, with the dictator-dominated UN becoming increasingly and openly hostile towards freedom, borders, and self-government, not to mention the perpetual UN scandals, the regular rape of children by the UN peace troops, and the retaliation against whistleblowers and other horrors, the broader movement to protect humanity and the liberty from the UN has been growing for decades now. So, like I said, Dad, I don't know if this is something where they're trying to morph the UN into something even more. I don't know how much worse the UN can get, honestly, but it's kind of exciting to see a lot of people getting fed up with it. I just don't know how legit this really is. What do you think about it?
I have no idea, Austin. I mean, you know, we hear so much obfuscation through the United Nations and all the circles they have. I mean, who in the world knows?
Yeah.
But I want to talk about something else right now. I want to talk about Michael Flynn. He just resigned from the Trump, basically, as a security, national security advisor. And it's kind of interesting because he's had all kinds of scandals that have basically plagued him, and he's pretty much just dropped out and said he's done now. But this is a huge position. It's not a cabinet-level post, but he's the advisor to the president. And if you go to the Wikipedia, it says national security advisor to the president for national security affairs. It's commonly referred to as the national security advisor. And it says the senior aide of the executive office of the president, based in the West Wing of the White House, who serves as the chief in-house advisor to the president of the United States on national security issues. This also participates in the meetings of the National Security Council and usually chairs the principal committee meetings with the Secretary of State and Secretary of Defense. I mean, this guy's a pretty big position up. So the question that I want to ask is, why in the world did Donald hire this guy with all of this baggage? Because I don't really understand what in the world what he was involved with before he retired. But the Washington Post reports that conversations with no less than 9 intelligence officials confirmed that Flynn did talk with Russian Ambassador Sergei Galovsky about Obama's sanctions on the Russian Federation. Flynn apparently urged the Russians not to be too upset about the new sanctions, suggesting that the Trump administration would revisit them. Flynn, at the time, was not in any government office and had no right to negotiate with a foreign power, an act prohibited to civilians by the Logan Act. Flynn must have known that the Russian ambassador's telephone is under NSA surveillance, so it is weird to the extreme that he would risk breaking the law in public, so to speak. It's bad enough that Flynn may have committed this breach of law. On top of that, when questioned about his allegations, he lied and said he had not discussed sanctions with Galovsky. He also not only lied to himself, but he lied to Vice President Pence. And this lie also arranged for Pence to go on television and repeat his lie. Flynn wasn't under oath, so I pose his lie. So this is just a lie and not perjury. But surely lying to your boss and embarrassing him on international TV and media would basically be something to be terminated for. And basically, this is a really good article that actually was written by Juan Cole. And the thing that's interesting about this is that, you know, this guy should have known he was being recorded. I mean, everything gets to be recorded. We know that with the NSA. It also goes on to say, Flynn had a lot of baggage. There were also questions concerning the about-face of Flynn with regard to Turkey. He had been a critic. In fact, he hates Muslims. But then when his consulting firm got a contract from a Turkish businessman close to President Erdogan, Flynn abruptly switched around and became a big booster of Turkey. These indications that the general is not a man of virtue, and that not only these alarming things about him, of course, there's also his hatred of Muslims, with what him calling Islam a cancer, okay, and alleging that is a political movement masquerading as a religion. His call for Arab and Iranian leaders publicly confess that their Islamic ideology is sick and in need of healing. I mean, so this guy was kind of a lightning rod. And I really don't understand how Trump didn't vet this guy properly. I guess it must have been the beginning of Trump's administration, Austin, when he was trying to fill so many positions at once. But obviously, it's a good thing this guy was terminated. What do you think?
Yeah, I do. I think there's a lot of stuff going on. I mean, we've seen all this. And I mean, not to mention we've had the unbelievable drama with the Ninth Circuit Court. But as I told you earlier today, this was interesting information that just came through. First off, the 7th U.S. Court of Appeals interjected now today about the whole situation that happened in California with the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. The streak just ended. Vessel News reports that the 7th U.S. Circuit of Appeals in Chicago has now ruled that Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers, which is ICE, as well as local law enforcement, now have the legal ability to deport illegal voters. While the ruling will stand for all of America, it comes at dismay specifically about the Peruvian woman who voted illegally during multiple elections and was blatant about it. She will face now deportation. While WikiLeaks confirmed that John Podesta condoned massive voter ID fraud in support of the Democratic Party, now the 7th U.S. Court of Appeals decided it was time to allow ICE to handle the situation and deport anybody who has voted illegally in this country, which, oh, surprise, surprise, imagine that. People that vote illegally in this country have to get kicked back out that aren't even supposed to be here in the first place. What a concept. But on top of that, I don't know if the Ninth Circuit Court either got somebody talking to him about what's going on. I know there's a lot of political play and theater right now, but now the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal has chosen at this time to finally come out with a ruling that helps the American people. Remember I told you guys in detail last week about how if the Ninth Circuit Court's ruling goes to the Supreme Court, which is supposed to, about this executive order block, it will in turn, if the Supreme Court rules in favor, it will literally make it law that immigrants, illegal immigrant aliens that come here illegally will immediately have legal representation applied for them, and they can pay an attorney and basically get their green card for free. After, as soon as the attorney sues, they get their card, and it will be unbridled immigration with literally no restrictions on it. I'm guessing the Ninth Court rule figured out that that was a possibility and got their heads out of the sand, but the court has ruled now that those who have been apprehended entering the country illegally have no legal right to representation. It seems as if the word illegal finally means something after all. Now, the Democrats, of course, are going to go all crazy about this, as they always do, and this ruling is not saying that the illegal aliens do not have human rights. It's simply that they have no legal right to counsel whatsoever. The Constitution promises all American citizens the right to legal counsel, but we are not talking about citizens. Now that the Ninth Circuit Court has taken this free legal right away from those who are entering illegally in order to tie up the system, we'll have even less incentive to try and break in. Because, guys, you have to think about this concept. For the last decade or so, there's been no negative downside to sneak in this country illegally. If you do, if you make it and you don't get in and you happen to get booted out, you just go in a different route and try and get in. Once you do finally make it in, you can literally apply for every single state and government subsidy, get free just about everything, get a driver's license, vote. As you've seen everything we've talked about in the last couple months, in the last couple years, there's no downside at all. And so now, if they have no legal ramifications, they can't get an attorney, they're immediately going to get deported. And now if they vote, as we saw now, it's going to be illegal and they're going to be deported. At least we're finally laying out some basic ground rules that should have already been enforced for the longest period of time now, Dad. But, I mean, at least we're finally starting to make some baby steps. Thank goodness. But we'll see if a lot of this stuff escalates into further, you know, taking care of our legal constitutional rights, or a lot of this is just obfuscation again. I don't know.
Well, remember, Obama actually encouraged the aliens, the illegal immigrants, to vote.
Oh, yeah.
He encouraged them to vote.
Yeah.
I mean, how in the world do you vote in a country that you're not even a citizen of? I mean, it's, of course, well, what it is, it's false papers, false documentation, all of the other above. That's how they do all of this stuff. By the way, a Los Alamos study has now found that airport scanners, which we have been warning you about for years, actually alters your DNA. Wow. This is from an article called Humans Are Free. Can we ever believe what our government tells us about airport security devices? My response is no. Apparently not. They first told us x-ray scanners that showed way too many naked body parts were perfectly safe. Even the manufacturer of the device, RapidScan, openly admitted the scanners had not been adequately tested. The truth was later revealed that the safety test turned out to be totally rigged. With fabricated results, the technology was quickly rushed into every airport worldwide. No one listened to what the scientists in the field of radiation were trying to tell them. These machines are not safe. It wasn't until the backscatter radiation levels of the scanners were putting off began showing an increase. It wasn't until the backscatter radiation levels the scanners were putting off began showing an increased incidence of cancer in TSA agents. Imagine that, along with the lawsuits that quickly followed, that the devices were finally yanked. The TSA quickly scrambled for another solution. Now they want us to believe that the replacement technology, millimeter wave digital strip search scanners, are also safe. Don't believe it for a second. The TSA also failed to adequately test these devices for health and safety factors as well. Unfortunately, in today's world, security trumps human safety. These millimeter wave technologies are designed to bombard innocent travelers with high-frequency energy particles known as terahertz photons. A study conducted by Bojan Alexandrov at the Center of Nonlinear Studies at the Los Alamos National Laboratory in New Mexico revealed that these terahertz waves could unzip double-stranded DNA, creating bubbles that could significantly interfere with processes such as gene expression and DNA replication. In other words, guys, it's worse, if not as bad, it's worse than what we already have with the rapid scan devices. Here's what I do. Whenever I go to the airport and I have to go through my annual groping whenever I fly, what I do is I just tell them I'm not going to go through there. I'm not going to have anything to do with it. And they always take me to the back and they always, you know, or you do it publicly and I get groped down. And I'm like, whatever. And to me, it's just part of what you have to do in this Third Reich, Fourth Reich, what do you want to call it, the United States has turned into with the national security agencies and because of the Patriot Act, etc., what we've turned ourselves into as far as this police state. So personally, I don't fly much anymore because of this. I just would rather drive and catch hotels along the way because I don't like being subjected to all of this abuse as far as what I'm concerned. That's what I consider, because that's what I consider it to be. So, guys, hopefully we're putting a stop to this. But I'm telling you guys, if everybody listening to my show and all the other alternative talk shows were simply to say, no, I'm not going through these machines, you're going to have to pat me down, I guarantee you it would bring air traffic to a screeching halt, and the government would have to do something else rather than just have the sheeple get marched through all these dangerous, dangerous devices. What do you think, Austin?
Oh, you're absolutely right, because if you started forcing everybody for pat-downs, I mean, usually only the couple times that I've gone through a, you know, civilian airport like that and had to go through TSA, I've always made sure that I tell them, I'm not walking through that. I'm not going to do it. I'm not doing it. You can pat me down. We can go through our little weird ritual we're doing here where you grab me. And it takes a couple minutes because they got to get somebody over there. They got to do the whole shebang. If everybody started saying, no, I'm not walking through this, you're going to have to grope me. First off, the lines for TSA would get so far backlogged, it would be 4 to 6 to 8 hours. Everybody would start missing their flights. Well, what happens when everybody starts missing their flights? They can't get on because of the interference from TSA. They're just going to back charge the credit card with the flight. That's what I would do. If I got stuck 7 hours in TSA and I missed my flight and they didn't want to turn around and reimburse me for it or provide me another flight, I'd just call the credit card company and say, credit card, airport scammed me, TSA scammed me, missed my flight, did not get what I was paid for. I was basically hindered on trying to travel freely, unmolested on my way. And you're absolutely right. If you start having that happen all over the international airports, all over the U.S. on an ongoing basis, American Airlines, all the big guys would say, whoa, 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 whoa. Guys, we're okay with you groping people, doing all this stuff, as long as it doesn't affect us too negatively. Now we have, 50,000 back charges the first week because everybody's sick of us because we're flying on schedule because we have to, and you guys won't let them through because you're an incompetent alphabet agency who doesn't know how to do anything except grab old women and little children and act like they're big, bad, strong men. Whereas, as far as what I talked about yesterday, the TSA hasn't done anything productive in any type of terroristic manner as far as stopping any terrorism whatsoever. Everything has been pre-planned or some type of FBI setup. I even talked about at the end of the show yesterday, Dad, you may have missed it, that I think there's a dozen TSA agents that have been indicted now with an internal review because they were helping a bunch of cocaine smugglers traffic cocaine through the TSA checkpoints, running two suitcases apiece and passing them through so they didn't get busted. So that whole thing has been going on now with that. But yeah, that TSA, the scanners, it's nonsense. It doesn't do anything but desensitize us to a tyrannical rule that they are basically above us. We're subject to them. They're wearing their little blue shirts and their little blue gloves. They're better than us, and we have to submit to them. It's all about forcing submission because, guys, got to think about it again. You are flying with, you're flying. It is your will to fly. It is not something you have to do, and they're basically stopping you from doing it. You choose to fly. You choose to go through the x-ray scanners. You choose to let them grope you. They're not forcing you to do anything. That's all about what these globalists love. They love to make you submit to what they want you to do. Their ultimate goal. That way, they didn't do it to you. They told you what they were doing. You chose to do it. And it's like that with almost every single aspect of what they do. Now we see what's going on with Europe with the cash. We're starting to see all this stuff collude together, whereas now Europe's becoming more and more on the precipice of becoming a cashless society. On 23rd of January last month, the EU Commission issued the Commission Initiative Roadmap for 2018 regarding the step-up fight against financing terrorism, known as the Payments Restriction Initiative. Now, I went into detail on this a couple weeks ago, but what has happened now is they've had another meeting with the Economic and Financial Affairs Council, and they're going in now and they're looking at all this. And when they stated in the commission, they said to explore the need for appropriate restrictions on cash payments exceeding certain thresholds. And they go through all this jargon on there. And then it goes on to say in here, with ECB's decision of the 4th of May, now nobody's heard about this yet. Now I don't know if this is still going to go through the 4th of May to discontinue the production production of Euro 500 banknotes and stop the issuance of this denomination by around 2018 to address concerns that these notes are used to finance illicit activities. So I don't know if they're still online to do this 2018. I don't know if they're bumping it up this year. Nobody knows. These guys are so covert. The report goes on to advise that any measure restricting cash payments would be complementary to the specific actions addressed by the review, and to include virtual currency such as Bitcoin and prepaid instruments when they are used anonymously. There you go again, guys. It's all for your protection to prevent terrorism. Now they want to block Bitcoin, 500 euro bills, and prepaid credit cards. Three of the main things that still keep you anonymous whenever you're purchasing anything. New anti-money laundering laws that are coming out will cover high-value goods such as works of art, bullion metals, there you go, guys, here comes the gold and silver, precious stones, or auctioneers, which require them as they apply customers' due diligence measures, full identification of customers, and keeping record of transactions when receiving cash payments. So there again, buying metals, buying jewelry, buying art. Again, they want to be able to monitor all that. The latest documents now extend the cash payment rule by reducing the entire euro law from 15,000 limit on transaction to 10,000 euro limit transaction by June 2017. Unbelievably, the EU Commission is using the logic of banning cash by stating there remains the lack of readily available and solid evidence on legitimate versus illegitimate cash transactions. They maintain it is too difficult to quantify the legitimate or illegitimate use of cash. What a bunch of crock. This is all about bringing us to a cashless society again, Dad, like we've talked about over and over and over again. As you see, the euro, they're always starting this stuff, and once they start implementing it, it always seeps its way over here to the United States. This is why it's so important. I've said this so many times, and a lot of people still don't listen to me. You have to use cash. You don't have to buy everything with cash. I'm not even telling you you need to do that. I'm saying you need to at least use cash at least 20 to 30% of the time when you can. It constantly shows transactions from businesses, from computers to software, that a transaction's being made in cash. A, it's anonymous. B, it's easy to use. C, you can't track it. And D, it doesn't base anything on electronics. Everybody is getting so wrapped up in this electronic generation with the phones, with the cars, with the credit cards, everything now, that if something happens just for a couple weeks, if we have a solar flare, an EMP attack, anything, and we use electricity, nobody is going to know how to function at all. Everybody is going to freak out immediately. If you have some cash on you, at least $100 in your wallet. I've talked about this before. Always keep $100 in your wallet, in the back of your wallet. You don't even use it as a backup if you ever need to do so. If the electrical grid goes down, cash is still going to be used. Even an economic collapse, cash is still going to be used at the beginning of a collapse. Now, 2, 3, 4 months into it, where it starts going to a full barter system and it's mayhem, which I really hope we never reach that point, then that's where the bullets, the beans, the guns, the ammo, the silver, all that stuff starts becoming barterable, and the paper dollars that are irredeemable become nothing. But at the very beginning of any type of collapse or catastrophe, cash is still always widely used. We've always seen that.
Well, you're absolutely right, Austin. In fact, the craziest thing about this is the only way that the central bank is going to stop incredible, complete and total global meltdown of the currency system that they put into place, simply because what they've done is they don't have enough cash in circulation to handle all the derivative debt. If there's not a run, if there's not going to be a run on a bank, if the banks aren't going to be running, just add dots and dashes to their computer screens, it's not going to really create a big problem. But if we don't do something as far as trying to maintain our cash, you're absolutely right. The United States will be next. By the way, CNN cut off Bernie Sanders. Yep, the man who Hillary Clinton basically cheated out of the Democratic Party nomination, cut him off. Bernie Sanders is the latest growing list of people to be CNN. That is, have their mic mysteriously cut during an interview when the former presidential candidate dared to barb that CNN was fake news. CNN anchor Aaron Burnett interviewed Sanders on the incendiary contention concerning the National Security Advisor General Michael Flynn's phone call with the Russian ambassador to the United States, which we covered earlier, and whether or not sanctions and cooperation were discussed before Trump's President Trump took office. After then showing Sanders a clip of Trump stating he had not heard about the Flynn controversy, Burnett asked. Trump says he knows nothing about it, hasn't seen any of the reports. He says, well, I don't know, Sanders replies. Well, maybe he was watching CNN fake news. What do you think? So you got to, you know, it's funny. It's absolutely hilarious. I don't know if Sanders was joking or what. I don't know. But I tell you what, he's probably had about enough of it, too. We all have. So, yeah, CNN fake news, absolutely awful. What do you think about that, Oz?
Oh, yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, that's the CNN fake news. It, pretty much, guys, I mean, you have to have your head so far in the sand if you're still actually getting news that you believe from the mainstream media and pretty much from the television in general, because 99% of what you see on the television is completely and totally controlled and designed as a pure psyop. The movies you watch, the television shows you watch, the news you watch, the reality TV that's so reality that you watch, all that stuff does not get aired unless they want it to get aired. Now, I'm not saying there's not a lot of cool movies that I like, a lot of TV shows that have been cool before. I'm not saying that at all. But you have to be very open and knowing what you're watching and be very observant to a lot of the things that are happening. Also, too, it seems that pretty much about over the past 20 to 25 years is where a lot of the significant psychological operation with television has really, really, really become aggressive. You look at a lot of the older movies, they may have a little bit of subliminal stuff here and there, but not nearly as blatant as they do in a lot of the newer movies over the last decade. But yeah, speaking of CNN, their fake news and everything else, I don't even know why people look at that website, nor to even take them seriously. They should really just be like just kind of like a skit comedy. They should really call it like Saturday Night Live by CNN. You know, it's just kind of like a joke show that they just come up with fake news. That's pretty much all they've really turned into now. We saw that with the election. It really became true with that, Dad.
Absolutely. Here's another article from Michael Schneider. It says that sabotage. Obama is commanding an army of 30,000 anti-Trump activists from his home 2 miles from the White House. This army of activists have already been heavily involved in many of the protests and riots. Wow. Unfortunately, Barack Obama has opted for the exact opposite approach of being a peaceful ex-president. His new home is less than 2 miles from the White House, and from this command bunker, he will be directing the activities of an army of more than 30,000 anti-Trump activists. In fact, as you will see below, the army has already been heavily involved in many of the protests and riots that have been popping up around the nation in recent days. Sabotage is a very strong word, but it's becoming apparent that Obama intends to do all he can to sabotage the Trump administration, and that is very bad news for the American people. Now, I've got to make a comment about this. Number one, Barack Obama has never had the best interests of the United States in his heart. He's always been a Rothschild stooge. He now has also started his own foundation in which people can pour huge amounts of money in, as they did with Hillary Clinton, because she's pretty much done now. And he can, as an ex-president, bring in billions of dollars to direct however way he's been told to direct it. Again, he's being used as a proxy for the Rothschilds, for Soros, for all the rest of these guys. In other words, they don't get their hands tainted. They run it through Obama's foundation. They're doing the exact same thing they did with Hillary Clinton, with her foundation. They're doing the exact same thing they did with Bill by propping him up as the ex-president. Now, what I would do if I was Donald Trump, Obama's first executive order, Austin, was to seal all of his personal records. That was his first executive order. I would undo that executive order, and I would unseal all of Obama's records, and I would do a full-blown investigation on this Kenyan, this gay Kenyan, who he is, what he is, on Obama, his wife, the tranny, and everything else, and I would fully expose him for what he is. I would completely and totally defang him if he's found to be a usurper, like Alan Keyes called him at the first time he was elected back in 2007. If he's found to be a usurper at that point in time, Obama needs to be arrested and put into prison. And every single executive order that he has ever written should be struck. Just like when Moses, in that movie, Moses with Yul Brynner in the Ten Commandments way back when, and he finally said when Moses was kicked out of Egypt, let the name of Moses be stricken from every obelisk and every tablet in Egypt, and let it never be spoken again. This thing with Obama needs to go away. He does not need to be a front guy for George Soros. And if Donald Trump doesn't do something about this, it makes me really wonder who in the world is still running the White House and who's running this global stuff that's going on with Soros, and why Donald Trump's going to allow this ex-president, who I believe with all my heart, I really do believe this, was not an American citizen. How in the world will they allow him to continue this? What do you think, Austin?
No, that's always been a big, I think, question to all of us is, where did this guy come from? That's the first thing I said in 2008, right? He literally, like, popped out of nowhere. Nobody ever heard of this man before. No one ever even spoke his name before. No one knew where he came from. And he literally just came out of the muck, like they created this guy in a lab underground out of some CIA black site, and just, oh, here's the Barack Obama who's running for president. And everybody kind of looks at each other like, who is this Yee? Nobody's even met this guy before. Nobody even remembers him in college. Nobody even dated him. Who is this guy? And then he ends up winning. And the whole premise, the only premise that he won on, the only reason he won the first time, if it even was a legitimate election, was because he had black in him. And that was fine. I wouldn't have cared one bit if he would have been a legitimate black president. I would have thought that would have been great. But he wasn't. His whole entire life before his presidency and during his presidency was the epitome of shady. It was not legitimate at all. And that's the biggest issue I had. That's why I was, when I was got out of college, I went directly in officer candidate school and was going to Quantico for the Marine Corps OCS. And the biggest thing they kept asking me, we all kept talking about, that was 2008, the election year. And, you know, McCain was running then, and that was, you know, more when I was kind of like, okay, that's a little bit more legitimate. Didn't know a lot about him, which now I know McCain's a warmonger. But Barack Obama, everybody I talked to that was a Marine OCS with me, even people that I talked to that are recruiters, everybody's kind of like, yeah, we don't know who this guy is. We don't really know anything about him at all. He's just kind of floating around. You know, we're not going to see, we'll see what happens with him. And then he got elected out of nowhere, and everybody's like, what is this guy? So, yeah, that would be something I would be very curious about. If Trump can't get eviscerated by the globalists, they may have already told him that Obama's off limits. But, yeah, I saw another article yesterday about Obama basically trying to incite more violence towards the White House now. And apparently he bought a house 2 miles down the road from the White House of Washington, D.C. I mean, he is literally right down the road. So he is definitely right in the middle of everything still. And if he keeps pushing it, I wouldn't care what happened. If I was Trump, I would uncover all those records and I would expose him on Twitter, every single national air coverage he can get that's not going to get compromised. If Obama really wants to play this game, he's got a lot of skeletons in his closet, and I really don't think he wants to go down this route unless, again, the globalists are telling him, you better do this now because we own you. I don't know, but that man is just, he's the epitome of shady. I can't stand him at all.
Well, no, that's right. Now, here's another interesting article from Rolling Stone today. It says, do the Grammys have a race problem? No black artists are nominated for the best new artist or record of the year, but Iggy Azalea gets props in both. Now the reason I'm reading this, because I don't really do the Grammys, I don't really listen to today's music, I don't hear it, I don't like put that negative frequency into my mind, but here's how they wrote this article. Now, I'm going to turn it around for you, and we're going to talk about this from a reverse discrimination standpoint. This is by Raquel, whoever her name is, Cepeda, and he goes, white people rejoice. You've managed to cold jack yet another award season, and in February, no less. The Oscars will be whiter than they've ever been since 1998, and this year's Grammy Awards promise to be a throwback to that time when Shirley Temple got down in blackface, dumb, stupid effects, and all. Now, this is crazy. This article goes on and on and on. Now, I'm going to turn this around. I'm going to change it a little bit, and this is my interpretation of it. If it says, if the article started off, do the Grammys have a race problem? No white artists are nominated for the best new record artist of the year. People would go insane.
Yeah.
Black people rejoice. You've managed to cold jack yet another award season in February, no less. The Oscars will be blacker than they've ever been since 1998, and this year's Grammy Awards promise to be a throwback to the time when Shirley Temple got down in blackface. Now, I don't know why in the world it's okay to write crap like this and completely and totally be prejudicial towards white people and put them down. I mean, this is no good, Austin, and I don't understand at all why these writers who write stuff like this have a tendency to do this over and over and over again. Now, this guy with his name is probably you know, Hispanic. But the point, it doesn't make any difference. We don't have a right to put another race down. We don't have a right to have a Miss White America contest. We don't have a right, to have the national, white, league, like we have the NAACP, the National Association of Advancement of White People. Are you kidding me? I mean, you'd be basically burned out. You'd be torched out back. People say, oh, you're KKK. No, we're not. All we want to do is stop all of this race baiting. That's all of this stuff is. Just stop talking about it and stop making a person black, making a person white, or making a person Hispanic. Just stop it. If a person wants to come to the United States, assimilate into our culture, not be a nutbag who wants to run around killing people and raping little kids, okay, whatever. Just be a good citizen in America and forget about it. We don't care what color you are. The problem is they won't let it go, Austin. They constantly have to race bait us reverse-wise. What do you think?
No, it is. It's something that I think everybody is seeing now, and it's been going on for a while. And like you said, it doesn't matter to me if it's Grammys, if they're white, Hispanic, black, it really doesn't matter. But the whole thing about it is, it's always derogatory towards pretty much anybody that's white. If you, like you just said, it's always derogatory towards us all the time. And I don't act like that towards anybody, regardless of race. The only thing that I really dislike are violent Muslims that come into this country. I'm not a fan, but that's not a race. That's a religion, a very sadistic, violent religion. But as far as Middle Eastern people, I know a lot of them, and I know a lot of them that aren't Muslim, and they're great people. But sitting there and always putting down a specific race for anything that happens is quite obnoxious after a while. It really is. It's just the term that describes it the best to me. It's obnoxious. It's like that bird sitting in the side of the room over there in a cage, just racking off, parroting everything you say and won't stop talking, and just rants and rants and rants all the time. That's what it reminds me of with the mainstream media now. But you have to remember, this is the agenda that they've been told to push for the globalists. If they can incite violent actions, if they can cite basically diversion between us, that all the races split up, instead of coming together and saying, it doesn't matter, black, white, whatever, we need to come together as patriots, as constitutional Americans, as people here that are fighting for the rights of our country, for our kids and our grandchildren, that's what we have to do. They do not want us having that unity at all. If we have that unity, we would be the strongest, most united, basically impenetrable country in the world. They don't want to do that. If they can divide us from within, they can conquer us in any way, shape, or form. If we don't have the unity together, there's nothing that holds us strong if we have to come together, because everybody's mad about what somebody said at the Grammys, or what somebody put on the news, or what somebody put on Twitter. It's childish. It's absolutely childish. People have to get over that and look at the big picture, that we have to get back to a constitutional United States where everybody is free, as we started this country as, and that everybody that is American has rights and constitutional rights, Dad, instead of constantly bickering about all this nonsense all the time and constantly race baiting.
Absolutely right. By the way, another story, Elon Musk is now saying, he's a futurist, that humans must merge with machines or become irrelevant in the artificial intelligence age. I mean, I don't even know how to respond to these people. Billionaire Elon Musk is known for his futuristic ideas, and his latest suggestion might just save us from becoming irrelevant as artificial intelligence grows more prominent. The Tesla and SpaceX CEO said on Monday that humans need to merge with machines to become a sort of cyborg, like you see with the Starship Enterprise with the Borg. Over time, I think we will probably get a closer merger of biological intelligence and digital intelligence, Musk told an audience at the World Government Summit in Dubai, where he also launched Tesla in the United Arab Emirates. It's mostly about the bandwidth, the speed of the connection between your brain and the digital version of yourself, particularly output. I mean, this is some crazy stuff. And guys, I've been telling you this stuff for years, that this is where it's going. He also touched upon his fear of a deep AI, which goes beyond driverless cars to what he called artificial general intelligence. This is described as the AI that is smarter than the smartest human on Earth, and called it a dangerous situation. So at least he is saying that. So this is some crazy stuff, because remember, that D-Wave computer actually interlinks into multidimensional universe to Lucifer himself. This is some crazy stuff. And basically will allow him to direct to completely control the planet. Because remember, when they put these little nanobots in you, these little, this smart dust, this technology of this micro robots and micro transmitters, they're going to be able to control you. I've done multiple shows on this, and now this guy is coming out and saying that we have to merge with machines. Crazy stuff, Austin. What do you think?
Yeah, that's the ultimate goal at the end of it. You know, we talked to your buddy about that, who's the engineer, the other day when we went and met with him, and that's the whole idea with the vehicles. I mean, they've already come out with vehicles now, and this is one of the questions I brought up in there. I said, where are the backup restraints with these autonomous vehicles when there's no steering wheel, no brake pedal? Because they're coming out now, guys, with, if you guys haven't known this yet, you know, you know they have the Tesla vehicles, stuff like that, that do kind of autopilot, got that whole idea. No, they're designing and already releasing prototypes for fully autonomous vehicles that run 60, 70, 80 miles an hour with zero controls, no steering wheel, no drive selector, no brake, no gas, nothing. Just a little playlist, something you can put in the navigation, play with your music, and you can just sit and chill. Now, the concept and idea of that sounds fantastic. Hop in the car, put in your navigation, sit back, turn a movie on, turn the stereo on, and get there in an hour and a half, 2 hours, wherever you're going, and not do anything. It's like a train, but way more efficient. I love the idea of it. The problem is, where are the safeguards? When you start operating vehicles at 60, 70, 80 miles an hour down the road, and you're relying solely on AI to get you there, where is the backup? It was like the question that he proposed, and this is something that's very intriguing when you think about it, is who is making these decisions for the AIs? You're giving the AI the ability to make these decisions based on it. And he goes, there's a concept where you're driving down the middle lane, a vehicle stops in front of you, you're about to have a vehicle collision, hundreds of thousands of dollars in damages for multiple vehicles. There's a motorcyclist on your right wearing a helmet. There's a scooter on your left not wearing a helmet. Which one do you hit? Do you hit the vehicle in front of you and cause hundreds of thousands of dollars in damage? Do you hit the guy on the motorcycle and cause damages but he'll probably live with the helmet? Or do you take the guy out on the left with no helmet and kill him because he's not wearing a helmet? Well, in the analytics, it basically comes up that the cheapest, safest, most viable option is to hit the guy with the scooter because he's not wearing a helmet, and it's cheaper to pay out on a dead man than insurance than wrecking hundreds of thousands of dollars of vehicles or debilitating injuries to somebody with a helmet on that stays alive for the next 10 years, basically in the hospital with loss of life or limb. That's the decision. So who's making that decision? You're giving that idea over to an AI, artificial intelligence, to make who lives and who dies. That's the whole problem with this autonomous vehicle program, is people are no longer taking every single possible scenario and putting it in their brain and coming out with the outcome. You're giving a computer the ability and the autonomy to make who lives and who dies in these situations, Dad, and it's definitely something that I don't like at all. I love the idea as far as the futuristic idea of autonomous cars. I think every kid likes that when you see futuristic movies, but when you actually put this in real-world perspective, and then on top of it, where does the grid control these vehicles? They're all going to have to be linked together. Well, then the grid that controls that grid, that puts it on a nationwide grid, what's going to control that? That's when it starts going back to these D-Wave computers, and that's when you start looking at this really, really, really bizarre AI technology that we have that's in these computers that literally is able to outsmart and outthink us and possibly overtake a lot of our decisions, because it will actually start planning what we're about to do next in a strategic platform. The same concept with the old movie Terminator and Skynet. Granted, that's an old science fiction film. A lot of that, in my opinion, had a lot of truth with the dangers of AI. When it feels threatened to a certain extent, it does not see the American population as a prototype that built them. It sees them as an existent threat that's going to take down the AI and launches basically offensive strikes that tries to take out the entire population. That's how far it goes down the line. I'm not saying autonomous cars are going to start right there, but I am saying when we start giving AI the ability to make decisions on who lives and who dies driving vehicles, you really have to start looking at how far we want to take this and how far we want to utilize it, Dad.
Absolutely. In fact, what this is all about, Austin, I'm going to say it again, I've said it so many times, it's about creating a slave race that's been implanted and trackable, so they'll know everything that you do, everything you spend your money on. This is the Sabbatean Rothschild way. They want to make sure that you're going to be a slave, that you're going to be an animal, and they can track you and tag you, like you put little trackers and taggers in your dogs so you don't lose them, or put a collar on them so you don't lose them. That's what they want to do to every single person on the planet, because everything that Lucifer does, is to come rob, kill, steal, and destroy. But our God, Yahweh and Yeshua, that's not what they do. They're here to help us and to give us everything they possibly can as far as support and allow us to bring honor and glory to them and to also do what we need to do in our life here on this planet. Guys, I want to thank you so much for listening to the show today. I appreciate you guys. I really do. I've got to take off a little bit early today because we've got some people here pouring some concrete, if you can believe that. I got to go out and check with them. And also, I'm getting ready to talk to you guys at the top of the hour as far as any type of questions that you have. I'll be here to call. If you want to call us up on the 800 number we gave out at the beginning of the show, let me know, and I'll be here talking to you and waiting to talk to you. God bless you so much. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us. I appreciate you guys. We love you guys. Go ahead and finish it up, Austin.
Okay, another next story, and this is pretty wild. You know, 61-year-old billionaire Bill Gates, who's talked about numerous times, is all about depopulation and vaccine agenda. Now he has a new young protege that's following in his footsteps and trying to vaccinate the entire world. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg now, according to reports, is currently in the process of opening his own $600 million biohub in Silicon Valley that aims to procure $3 billion in capital to, and this is what it states, to cure, prevent, and manage all diseases throughout the entire world in just one generation. Now, we've gone into detail before on Mark Zuckerberg, his basically connection to the CIA, his millions of dollars in funding and building Facebook, which has been used directly by the CIA and the NSA as a giant spy tool on the entire world population, including the United States, is where it first started. A lot of people don't realize that, but he was actually bankrolled by Black Ops CIA funds to start Facebook. You can look some of that up on there. A lot of it's very, very hard information to get a hold of, but a lot of the people that I've spoke with and a lot of the research that I've done has pointed to the exact same conclusions every time. And when you start looking at the fact, why would somebody want to build something that efficient of a profiling tool to manage the entire population on everything you do, think, say, eat, go, pictures, everything? That is the perfect tool for the NSA and the CIA to spy and monitor everybody. Now, going back to that now, the goal of the biohub, as reported by The Guardian, is to usher in a new era of accelerated process in science and health. In plain speak, the plan is to roll out all sorts of new vaccines, GMOs, and other things to centrally control over the basic necessities of the world. This also, too, ties back into the DNA, RNA vaccines that I talked about in detail a couple weeks ago on how they actually go in and seat into your DNA cell. So you don't lose this vaccine anymore. It actually rewrites your DNA in the nucleus. This is something that we can't even begin to imagine the long-term negative effects this is going to have on the human body when you start doing these DNA vaccines on a regular basis. This ties right back into Mark Zuckerberg because Bill Gates has started on these DNA, RNA vaccinations, but now apparently is starting to phase it off and on to Mark Zuckerberg for him to take on the legacy so they can have even more people get in with these unbelievably toxic, dangerous vaccines. Also, two guys, tomorrow, Robert De Niro, from what I've been seeing online, Robert De Niro and Robert Kennedy Jr., who, by the way, you guys remember, has been named head of President Trump's Vaccine Safety Commission, is joining forces with Robert De Niro to make a big announcement tomorrow about vaccines and mercury. According to a media advisory released this morning, the two are planning on announcing a unique challenge with substantial cash award to the American people and media. The event begins at 9:25 a.m. on Wednesday, February 15th at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. The entire event will be live streamed from the World Mercury Project's website. The World Mercury Project, headed by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., envisions a world where mercury is no longer a threat to the health of our planet or our people. You guys know he's the author, I've talked about it numerous times, he's the author of Thimerosal, Let the Science Speak, the evidence supporting the immediate removal of mercury, a known neurotoxin from vaccines, has gone into detail on numerous occasions on how toxic vaccines are and why in the world do we still have mercury in these. So, remember, with that video, Vax was supposed to get released before Robert De Niro pulled it 2 years ago. Something happened with that. We never got to the bottom of exactly the real truth, but somebody obviously got to him and made him pull that. Remember, Robert De Niro deals with an autistic son that he has, and so this would be interesting. If they may actually put something on a wide scale, if they do what I think they're going to do, and they actually use a cash award for a challenge to the American people and media to actually produce their own film or do their own personal documentary on having an autistic child, how it happened, when it happened, in the way that it happened, before, after vaccines, so forth, which obviously a lot of these are going to be after the vaccine was administered to the child. They come down with autism, as we've seen in probably 9 out of 10 cases. This will be groundbreaking, because this will be one of the first times that they will be, anybody will be incentivizing people that deal with autistic kids in this realm to actually do their own documentary that can't be muzzled, essentially. If they put it on Facebook, if they put it on Instagram, if they put it on YouTube, and you start having all these people, which what I think is what they're going to do, like who has the most in-depth coverage, in-depth video, and you know they're going to pay somebody out $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 for the best video and have first, second, and third place. You're going to start getting a lot of parents that who could use this money and that want to get this platform out there, that know there was a problem with vaccines and what happened to their children. This could be monstrous as far as for the anti-vaccine movement that we've been so strong for. So we'll keep an eye on it tomorrow. It starts tomorrow morning, so we'll definitely have this information for the show tomorrow afternoon. So stay posted on that. Should be pretty wild information. And also, too, if you guys remember, I talked about last week and yesterday, I think. I don't know. The days get mixed up occasionally. The GHI cleanse is on sale still till tonight. It looks like tomorrow we'll be winning. It's pretty close here. It looks like the Ultimate Estrogen Block, which is a very, very good product, especially for people that are training a lot, trying to keep estrogen down. And also, too, it's got a proprietary blend of APN, which is from hops and plant ligand, which helps reduce phytoestrogens, which are derived essentially from BPA. Talked about that in detail as well. The bisphenol A, it's in the plastics. That's a very difficult phytoestrogen to remove that they have in there. That's something that you can get rid of with this product. Really helps to reduce the aromatase activity of that and helps to keep estrogen balance in check. Another product we have is also called DIM Estrogen Control. That has the DIM product in it, and that can also help. The DIM Estrogen Control is what I always recommend males take when they're taking our Tribulus or Tongat Alley to kind of keep estrogen levels in a controlled setting. So if you have any testosterone conversion into estrogen from the extra testosterone you're making from the supplement stimulation, that it'll keep that estrogen in check, and you're not going to have any significant side effects from that. So check our website out, healthmasters.com. Email us if you need anything, healthmasters, 1-800-726-1834. You guys have a safe, blessed night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.